Let's turn in our Bibles here this morning. We're going to go to some very, very familiar scripture here this morning, to John chapter 3, right in the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with a religious Jewish leader named Nicodemus. We're going to go to John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 15, kind of right in the middle of the passage there. John 3:15, we're going to read through verse 18. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And God's word says this, starting at verse number 15. Actually, 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this is such familiar scripture to all of us here this morning. These words of Jesus to Nicodemus, and also his words to us. And Father, we want to learn and from these words. And this morning, you have put me in front of the people here at Beech Grove Church to expound on this scripture, to explain some things to all of us. But Father, I trust you. I trust that your scripture will penetrate our hearts and our souls and our minds here today, that we want to be convicted of your truth more than what we knew before we walked in this place here today. So Father, I stand behind the cross and just ask that the words that I say to the people here today be pleasing to you. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're just visiting us for the first time today, or if you haven't been with us for whatever reason, we are in a new sermon series. This is week number 3 of a sermon series that I have titled Real Faith. And I call it real faith, the adjective real, because it's imperative that we know the biblical truths about faith. Now, faith comes in a variety of flavors. And the first flavor of faith that we will be covering is something called saving faith. Saving faith is the faith that saves us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith, and this is a gift from God. It is not of ourselves, and it is not by works, so no one can boast. And the question that I need to pose to all of us here today is, if we are saved by faith, what exactly does that mean? That means that some type of faith that we have is going to be the faith that gets us into eternity, gets us into heaven, brings us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I ask, do you truly have that saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have the real type of faith that is necessary to get you into eternity? And in the first week of the series, we proclaim, like the Reformers did about 500 years ago, sola fide, by faith alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. No works are involved. Any works that were necessary for our salvation have all been done on the cross. Nothing that we can do. Then we moved on to say this, that there are four components in saving faith. Last week we started with the first component, which is knowledge. Knowledge engages our minds. And the knowledge of saving faith must be the truth. You cannot and you will not get saved by knowing or buying into a false system of salvation. And trust me, there are plenty of false systems of salvation out there in the world. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we are told that the Jews had a zeal for God. Oh, that sounds familiar. But it was not based on knowledge. They did not know in their minds the righteousness that comes from God. So what did they do? They sought to establish a righteousness of their own. They made up their own false system, as people do today. You cannot and you will not get saved by creating a false system of salvation. You can't know a false system, you can't buy into that false system, and you can't create a false system. You can only be saved by a true system of salvation, the one that the Bible reveals to us. That leads us to today's lesson, component number 2 in saving faith. Remember, I told you there will be 4 of them. We'll go over 3 and 4 over the next 2 weeks. Our first fill in the blank in the bulletin. The second component of saving faith is belief. That is our key word for today, is belief. We must have read that word at least 4 or 5 times in our scripture reading this morning. We have to believe in the truth of the knowledge that we have. And then comes the second fill in the blank, and we'll get these 2 out of the way, and then we'll talk about them. Saving faith then processes belief through the heart. Through our heart. We must engage our heart in the process of saving faith. Well, you might ask, well, what's the heart? I think we all know what the heart is. Quite often we would even use the expression, well, I know in my heart that, whatever. I know in my heart, we know what the heart is. The heart is, it's us. So the process of saving faith looks like this so far. We know the truth in our mind about what is necessary for saving faith. And then we believe that truth in our heart about what is necessary for saving faith. The mind and the heart are now engaged in this process. But as I asked last week, what if we don't know the truth? That's the first step. And what if we don't know what the truth is? Remember last week I gave 3 examples of 3 people outside our church who wanted directions how to get to Giuseppe's restaurant. Only one of them was given the true set of directions. The other 2, I think it was me and Cindy. Cindy was on her way to Lovingston because she was given wrong directions. I was on my way to North Carolina. I was given wrong directions. Romy was the only one who was given the true directions. He made it to the restaurant. So that goes to show one thing. We can all hear something. We can all know something. But is that we know the truth? Knowing and believing something other than the truth will take you somewhere you do not want to go. And I mean that on a spiritual sense. So what is the truth or truths that we need to know and also believe to have the saving faith to get us successfully into these first 2 components of this thing called saving faith? Well, let me say this. Number 1, Scripture and Scripture alone will have that answer for us. So that's where we'll look. And then number 2, and I need to say this. There is no one verse in the Bible that lays out the entire plan of salvation. Let me say that again. There's no one verse in the Bible that lays out the entire plan of salvation. There's some that give bits and pieces, and what we do is we put them all together. So let's look at a couple of Bible verses that talk about belief. Well, all 3 of these that I'm going to share here this morning all come from the Gospel of John. The writer, the Apostle John, wanted to show us the divinity of Jesus Christ. So he says this in John 3:16. We just read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, there's that word believe. If we move to John chapter 6, verse 40, a couple pages to the right, Jesus says this. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then one more, John chapter 20, towards the end of the book. John chapter 20, as a matter of fact, the last two verses in John chapter 20, these are actually written by the author himself, John, and he says this: Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There is that word believe. I just said it to you in three different verses, and if you look through the Gospel of John, you'll find it many, many more times. Obviously, believing in Jesus Christ is an important component in this thing that we call saving faith. But here's the question for the day. But I have to believe what about Jesus? That's an important question that needs to have the right answer. Because I assure you that most of the world believes something about Jesus. So what is it exactly? What is that truth that I need to know and believe to have this saving faith? Well, if you have your bulletins with you, I have some. I'll direct you to the inside of your bulletin, the bottom left-hand section, which we have more sermon notes. I ran out of room where it said sermon notes, so we have more sermon notes. So let's look at some basic biblical truths that we need to know in our minds so we can believe these same truths in our hearts. And I'll try to go through these 8 points quickly. The first four, I categorized these in two different sections. We need to know and believe this, my friends. We need to know this. We are all sinners, each and every one of us. Romans 3:23 says this: For all have fallen short of the glory of God, that we are all sinners, each and every one of us. We have all sinned. We are all sinners. And we need to realize that because there's a percentage of the world that doesn't believe that they ever do anything wrong. To them, there is no such thing as sin. Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, the Bible says that you are, and I'd rather believe the Bible than believe you. So, that leads us to our second point. What has this sin done? Our sin has separated us from God. I kind of like to use the arm thing here, that once upon a time when we were little children, like this young man right here, who is so innocent, he has a good relationship with God. But there will come a time in his life, as did come in ours, where he is going to sin just like we did, and that sinful relationship is going to ruin our relationship. Our sinful nature is going to ruin that our relationship with God, and it will be severed. Our sin has separated us from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 will tell us that we have all sinned, and that sin has put death into our lives. Which leads us to point number three. Our sins, condemn us to an eternity in hell. Well, don't think our sins don't have consequences, because our sins do have consequences. They have eternal consequences. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And by death, what Paul is saying is this: an eternity in hell. We will be, the things that we have done, the wages of our sin only takes us to one place, to an eternity in hell. So, we know that we are all sinners. Sin has separated us from God. Our sin condemns us to an eternity in hell. And we must know this, number four, because this is where a lot of people go wrong. All of our good works cannot cure this sin problem. Oh boy, do so many churches and beliefs and belief systems teach that. That your good works cover up anything, any of the bad that you did. Remember the scales thing? You know, if as long as my good outweighs my bad, well, God doesn't have a set of scales. He has a Savior. That's what he has. And he's gracious and willing to give that Savior to anyone who wants to receive that Savior. All of our good work cannot cure our sin problem. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We're saved by grace through faith. and this is a gift from God, and it's not of ourselves and not by works. Because if it was by works, then we would have something to boast about. Why do I have that, Derek? Well, it's important that we identify that we have a problem. As human beings, we all have a problem. And that problem is called a sin problem. And I could almost guarantee you that most of the world does not realize that they have a sin problem. But why is it important to know that I have a sin problem, that you have a sin problem? Answer, because if we don't know we have a problem, then we will never understand why I need a Savior. If I go up to somebody and tell them, you need Jesus, you need to get saved, and I even said this myself. When the day that I got saved, somebody asked me this, are you saved? Before I got, a few moments before I got saved, this man asked me this, are you saved? And I said this, saved from what? Saved from what? He explained my sin problem to me, and then I understood that I needed saved from something. But we can't tell somebody that they need a Savior unless they know that they are a sinner. We can't give them a solution until they know that they have a problem. And then we need to ask, what is Jesus all about if we don't know that we have a problem? So, we know that there's a problem. We gave those 4 points. Now, let's look at the solution. The solution. And here's where Jesus comes in. And these are things that we need to, these 8 things, things that we need to know, things that we need to believe, that we need to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus that is talked about in the Gospels, is God incarnate. He is God. He is God in the flesh. God walked on the face of this earth. John chapter 8 verse 24 says this. Jesus says this to the Jewish leaders. If you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. Now that kind of sums it up rather well. Jesus says you have a problem. You got a sin problem. And if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, and who does Jesus say that he is? He says, me and the Father are one. We are one. Jesus is God. And the next one, we also have to know and believe this, that Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father. And this, I'm going to stress one word there, the word only. Only. Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father. This young lady that Linda was talking about earlier, she wants to pray to her God. Well, I can assure you this, her God will never get her to my God. That just won't work. Now, let me share this story with you. I think I shared this with you once upon a time. You're going to hear it again. That when I was part of the United Methodist Church, I was a lay speaker. And every year, I'd have to go to Blackstone, Virginia, to be recertified to do lay speaking within the church. One year, I was down at the camp, and I was in this class. And the class was about how to teach an effective Bible study. And the teacher said, do you have any questions? And I said, yeah, I have a question. He said, what's that? And I said, how do you deal with students who disagree with black and white Christian issues and Christian truths? And he said, well, give me an example of a black and white Christian truth. And I said, well, Jesus Christ is the only way. And his response was this, well, Jesus Christ isn't the only way. Like, whoa, you're teaching me? And you're telling me that Jesus Christ is not the only way? And he said this, for the Christian, Jesus is the only way. But other religions have their own way. And we all find our way back to the Father. And this guy is teaching other people how to be preachers? I wrote a very serious letter to the United Methodist board of whatever it was, and they sent me back a response about 6 months later, and they agreed with the teacher. So, Jesus Christ, let me share some really good truth with you here this morning. Here's what Jesus says, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he says. Let me share some things with other things with you. That was just a story. How about this? Did you know that in the Roman Catholic Church they have a new pope, Pope Francis? And he didn't take a number, but I guess he's Pope Francis the First. Pope Francis said this recently, within the last month. This is what he said, and I quote from Pope Francis. The Lord, and he's talking to another individual, and he's saying this. The Lord created us in his image and likeness, and we are the image of the Lord, and he does good, and all of us have this commandment at heart. Do good and do not do evil. All of us. And then this other man said, but Father, this is not Catholic. He cannot do good. Yes, he can. The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ. All of us, not just Catholics, everyone. But Father, the atheist, the Pope, even the atheist, everyone, we must meet one another doing good. But I don't believe, Father. I am an atheist. But do good. We will meet one another there. That's from the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, who's pretty much a what we would call today a universalist. Be good, and you'll get there. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, the Vatican knew that the Pope said this, and they were a little concerned, needless to say. So they had to make a statement to kind of cover the Pope's tracks. So here's what the Vatican said. The Vatican then released what they called an explanatory note on the meaning of salvation. In this statement, Father Thomas Rosica confirmed the following. So this is a statement from the Vatican, and I quote, they cannot be saved who, knowing the Roman Catholic Church as founded by Christ and necessary for salvation, would refuse to enter her or remain in her, unquote. Now let me just say what that says. Well, they kind of dissed what the Pope said, but they said this, if you're not a Roman Catholic, you do not get to heaven. And I think we know differently. Let me share just one more with you. This is from, and this really takes it to an extreme. Pope Leo XIII. Pope Leo was Pope from 1878 to 1903. And he said this, and he taught this within the Roman Catholic Church, and I quote, every grace which is communicated to this world has a threefold origin. It flows from God to Christ, from Christ to the Virgin, and from the Virgin to us. Nothing comes to us except through the mediation of Mary, for such is the will of God. Thus, just as no man goes to the Father but by the Son, so likewise no one goes to Christ except through his mother. Whosoever will not have recourse of her is trying to fly without wings. O Virgin most holy, no one abounds in the knowledge of God except through thee. No one, O Mother of God, attains salvation except through thee. And you wonder why I was so confused as a kid growing up within that false belief system. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father. Through him alone, we don't need a mediator. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the person in Jesus Christ. And that is it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go read it for yourself. Let's move on. Third thing we need to know. Jesus Christ died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. By dying on the cross, that was the forgiveness of our sins, says Hebrews 9:22. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. No more animal sacrifices. There was one perfect sacrifice, We need to believe in that sacrifice, and that was Jesus on the cross. And then the fourth thing that I've written there, we need to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that the Father raised Him from the dead. You know, there are people in this world that believe that Jesus may have been a person, but one, Jesus never died on a cross, so therefore, two, He never rose from the dead. Or there are those who would believe, yes, He did die eventually, but this man, Jesus, never rose from the dead. It is important that we believe as Christians and to have saving faith that Jesus Christ not only died on a cross to forgive us of our sins and defeat sin, but He rose from the dead to defeat death so we could have eternal life. Good. Okay, let's move on. Now we know some 8 points that we need to know. Now we know what we need to know. And we need to believe in our hearts that which we now know. And it would seem like that would be all that is necessary to have saving faith. True knowledge and true belief in that knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. There's two more components to having saving faith. And let me tell you why. I'm going to turn to this little book in the back of our Bible called the Book of James. And you can turn there if you like. It's right after Hebrews. And I'm just going to read a couple short verses to you. And James says this in verses 18 and 19. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Verse number 19, here it comes, so important. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Do you know everything that we've talked about so far? The demons believe all that too. They believe all that. So if we know, if you know the truth and you believe the truth that I just said, those 8 points, up until this point today, that makes us no different than the demons. Because the demons know that. They know the truth about Jesus. They know everything that we've discussed so far. They know that. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Mark chapter 1. Listen to this conversation that Jesus has with a demon here in Mark chapter 1. Jesus cast out a demon, and it says this. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue. I'm at verse 21 in chapter 1 of Mark. Jesus went there to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Here it comes. It gets interesting. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. This is the demon crying out. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That demon, that evil spirit, knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. And he also knew this, that at some point in time in his future, that he will be destroyed. He knew that. Oh, and he believed that. So obviously, saving faith must go beyond knowing the truth and believing that truth. So where does it have to go from here? Well, that's where we go next week. So you're curious now. So you got to come back. Next week, we're going to look at the third component and see where this knowledge has to go, where this belief has to go. And I'll just clue you in, as I did last week. It turns from knowledge into belief into trust. And that's where we'll go from here. Sola fide, by faith alone. Remember, not all faith is real. Is your faith real enough to save you? Let's go to God in prayer.